As we begin our campaign, we're back in Acts again, as we were last week, and back to Luke telling stories on church people, which is always fun. I think the reason that I like Acts so much is because we see so much of ourselves reflected in it. It's sometimes funny, and sometimes beautiful, and sometimes weird, and those are all good things to see. How we were can find ourselves, our own stories, in the story of the early church. This morning our reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 43 to 47. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Here is the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Well, God, we pray for the gift of your Spirit, just as it was poured out upon our ancestors in the faith in the early church. We pray that it would be poured out on us, that you would help us to see ourselves in them and to see our future in them as we explore what it means to be a faithful community for such a time as this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know lots of churches that have puzzled together over mission statements and vision statements and crafting core values that they're going to put on the back of their bulletin or in the on the website. And sometimes they'll bring in a consultant to help them discern what are the things that we need to know and be aware of, and how do we articulate who we are. And I always think, well, just go to Acts 2. A Bible's what, $10? Open the Bible and go to Acts 2, to the early church, and see what the vision was, what the mission was of the very first early church. It's this clear guide right here in the beginning of what the church was in its infancy. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, to breaking bread together, and to praying together, worshiping together. Scripture says that they shared all things in common. They passed the plate around, and as any had been able to make some money off of their property, off of their abilities throughout the week, they put what they had into the center, and then they split it up and ministered to each other's needs. And day by day, as this was happening, as they were living together, day by day the Spirit of God was bringing more people into them. Day by day the Lord was adding to their number those who were being saved. It's very simple. Don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's very simple. They learned together. They ate together. They prayed together. They stuck together. But they stayed open enough that day by day, more and more people became part of this family of faith. It's very simple. Worship, serve, relate to one another, and then repeat. Well, I wonder what this looked like if it was really as simple as it sounds. Because it could have been that you know, when they studied the apostles' teaching, they sat around and ate stale donuts and bad coffee and half asleep, and they went through their Bible study. It could have been that when they got together that they just kind of made small talk, and they talked about the weather, and they argued about basketball, and argued about politics, and just had small talk, but they never really got around to the stuff that really mattered. You know, they didn't ever get very deep. And maybe they kept it simple when they prayed with each other. Maybe they were really careful not to be vulnerable, not to expose too much of themselves or what they were really struggling with. Maybe they didn't want to share how their own pain or their own need was present, and so they prayed for stuff like, you know, the neighbor's cat and world hunger, and not the stuff that kept them awake at night. That could have been the way it was, but I doubt it. Because if that's the way it was, then I doubt that the last line would have been in there, that more and more people were coming to be a part of it. Because what draws people in, what draws people to a community like the one that Luke describes the early church being is the way that that community of faith speaks to the thirst that we're all carrying around within us. The thing that we deeply want, the reason that we come to church in the first place, even if we forgot it, if it's been so many years that we forgot. But we came for authentic, transformative, the kind of belonging that will change your life. That's what we come for. So I think it's more likely that it wasn't like the way I described. I think it's more likely that when they sat down with the apostles teaching, when they really got to learning, it wasn't with stale baked goods and coffee in a styrofoam cup and theology to match that. I bet it was something that was much more lively. I bet it was something, a word that radically confronted them where they were, that challenged them where they were to think differently about themselves, about what God was calling them to. I bet it was something that really spoke to the heart of who they are, about the fear that they felt in the culture where they lived, or about how the Word of God could be a means to liberating their bodies and their minds and their spirits. I bet it was something deep that really affected who they are. I bet it was a radical confrontation about what it means to belong to God, what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to be driven out by God's Spirit into the place where they lived, to tell the good news about God's resurrecting power. And I bet it was the kind of stuff that you just don't learn with your head. Because you can learn stuff academically that you can spit back out in a paper. I bet it was the kind of stuff that changed their hearts, changed the way they live. It changed the way they saw the world, the way they saw themselves and each other, the way they live together, the apostles' teaching. And I bet when they broke bread together, I bet it was the good kind of breaking bread together. Like the kind when you sit down with people and everybody's arms are reaching across the table, grabbing stuff, and it's organized chaos, and stuff's not quite ready in the oven yet, but everybody's eating anyway, and nobody remembered to say the blessing. I bet they laughed and they cried when they sat together. I bet they told stories and called up collective memories. I bet maybe somebody was sitting there talking about the faith that their grandmother passed down, and they just broke down. I bet somebody started to share about how painful their divorce had been. I bet somebody there started making fun of Peter because they knew Peter could take it, and everybody laughed. I bet they had bread and wine. I bet it was, oh, there was some nice stuff at the table, kind of like ours, but I bet that there were children running around too, and I bet stuff got spilled, and the kids were eating dessert first. And the folks brought the stuff they made with family recipes, and everybody jostled to make sure they could get a serving before it all got gone. I bet it was less contemplation and more chaos, more sharing. It was, when you sit down to eat, you are taking in the means of life, right? We're doing that because we have to do it. But we sit down together because we also know that there's more to living than just filling your stomach. There's filling your heart and your life too with the people that are around you. And when they prayed, I'm thinking that they didn't just pray for the stuff they thought would sound good when they shared it. I bet they shared when they had good news to share, they prayed. And I bet when they had terrible, tragic news to share, they prayed. And I bet when they shared it, it wasn't news to anyone, because I bet they knew they had shared enough of one another to know when somebody was hoping for something and when somebody was longing for something, when somebody was dreading something and they were afraid. And I bet they knew how to hold silence. It wasn't always important to know the right thing to say. Sometimes it's just enough to know the right way to be with someone. And I bet when they said, you know, I'm going to pray for you this week, I bet they went home and did it. Simple. Apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. But when you start to think about it, it gets complex, doesn't it? It's very full, complicated. Because they set a table in this community of faith, of authenticity, of love, of justice, of inclusion, of inviting everybody there, making sure everybody was included, making sure nobody had need. And the Lord called them to keep that table open. They were called to this intimate life of loving and encouraging one another, but they were called to never be so closed off that they couldn't add more people to it. Because day by day, every day, the circle expanded. And can you imagine the work that goes in to keeping that community intimate and connected when day by day there are more and more folks coming? The Lord called them to save some seats for people. Don't fill it all up. Don't crowd around the table. Make sure there's room for people who are thirsty for the same stuff that you found. So on New Year's Eve last year, some of us came to church. I don't know what the rest of you did. Some of us came to church. Came here at 10 o'clock, had combined service. We gathered here for worship. And we had prayer stations across the front here, and we had different things for you to explore. And because of the occasion, the time of year, it's New Year's, we it's the time we like to look back at what's been over the past year and the stuff that we're ready to be gone, see go by the wayside, and the stuff that we can be grateful for and give thanks for. And then we spend time looking ahead, looking down the road at what the new year might hold and what our hopes and dreams and resolutions are for that. And there were all these prayer stations, and one of them was a table that had a place setting on it. Some of our plates from our cabinet that we don't eat off, the nice ones we don't eat off of every now and then, but only every now and then. And there was this place setting with a glass and with silverware and with a salad plate and a dinner plate and a bowl and all of this stuff. And this was the prompt. It said, in 2018, our community will have the chance to offer the radical hospitality of Christ to those in our community. Some will worship with us, but many will cross paths with our ministry in some other way. And a vital part of welcoming guests is thinking intentionally about what you will offer them. What will make your guests feel welcome? What will make them feel valued? How can we make their encounter one that has meaning and purpose long after it's over? And so everyone was invited. There were these strips of paper and pens, and everybody was invited to take the strip of paper and write what their hope and prayer was for those who came through our doors or encountered our ministry in some other way. What do we want to serve them? What do we want them to experience? And then to write that down on the paper and put it on the plate or put it on the bowl or put it in the cup, the things that we want to serve up to our community of faith. It's interesting, I think, that when we sit down to write something like that, usually what we write fits two categories, even if we're not thinking intentionally about it. I think what we might tend to write are the things that we're most grateful for that we found here. In other words, I was in a difficult place in my life, and I found a place that was willing to hear and hold the difficult moments of that situation and to care with me through the stickiness of it. And that's what I want someone else to find too. I want somebody else to feel just like I felt. Or the stuff that's really mattered to me. Or what we want is the stuff that we're still holding on for, the stuff we're still hoping for, the stuff we're still wishing our community could be. I want our community of faith to... I want us to offer up mission and witness that goes far beyond our comfort zone. And maybe you feel like that's how we need to be stretched. So, here's what you said. So these are the strips of paper. So there's value in being a pack rat. Those pastors never throw things away. These sit on my desk. I've been sitting on my desk for the last 4 months. And I look at them every now and again, and I when I read them, I think that they are one of those two things. Either this is the stuff that you're happy we have to offer, or it's the stuff you're hoping we can be. And these are both things to treasure. So I started looking at them again this week. What do you want the people who encounter Covenant Christian Church to know, to receive? A sense of belonging and acceptance. I want them to encounter ears that hear, heart that loves, so that they might know God's grace. I want us to be more hospitable and less insular. I want them to receive space and grace to think, relate, and grow freely. Help us to offer those in our community compassion, value, and self-worth. I want to offer them acceptance as they are, as they believe, as they have customs, as they have culture, as they have identity. Acceptance as they are. Acceptance of their full self, that they can bring all of their parts to church, good, bad, whatever, and think, and that they feel free to just be who they are. Acceptance. I want to help people see themselves as more than what others see them as. To let guests know you matter to me, to the church, and to God. Accept others as they are. Help others who aren't as me in my family. Love and acceptance. Love and acceptance. 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 You start to notice a pattern? Acceptance. True and honest, open hearts. These are the things that you wanted to be able to serve as a community of faith. We don't build buildings for the beauty of buildings. I really love this drawing. It's a beautiful drawing. I know you choir people are looking at the back of it. I really love it. I think it represents so much. It would be so cool if we had a church that looked like this, but we don't build it for that. We don't build it because we like the new carpet smell. We don't build it because it's exciting to hear power tools at work. We don't build it for the people who are already here. We build it for the people we want to experience what we have found here. And we might feel called to this because the apostles' teaching that has been opened up in this place has changed you or transformed you or helped you to see God in a different way, and you want somebody else to have that experience of being devoted to the apostles' teaching. Or you might feel called to expand our space so that because you have had a meal here that changed you, because somebody came and sat down next to you and made you feel welcome and made you feel part of a family and made you feel at home in a church where you've not felt at home in a church before. Or you might feel called to this because when one of us shares something out loud that is so clearly tender and vulnerable, that this space has held it with gentle hands and holy hands. You might feel called to this because when we come to this place, whatever that you are carrying with you through the door, you come into this space and you're reminded that you're not carrying it by yourself. And whatever part of the world that you feel confronted by each and every day that you feel is overwhelming, that you feel needs to be changed, you come into this space and you're reminded that you are not changing it by yourself either. So this drawing has a lot of stuff to it. It's got all the little architect's stuff. Little squiggles and writing and doors. Funny ways of drawing trees. It's colorful. It's complex in some ways. But this is really very simple. We're building a bigger table. Because what we're trying to serve up on this table is truth. Truth of God's love for each one of us. We're trying to serve up grace to those who have been told that grace is insufficient for them. We're trying to serve up mercy. We're trying to serve up acceptance for people who maybe have never been accepted for who they are and how they are anywhere else. Because it's made all the difference for so many of us. That's it. It's that simple. We want space for the Lord to add to our number those who are being saved. by the grace and mercy of God. So we're going to build a bigger table. We're going to hold seats open. That's what God had called our ancestors in the faith to do, and we can walk in their witness and example now, trusting in God's Spirit to be with us every step of the way. Amen.